All right, if you've got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. Mark chapter 2 is where we're going to go today. We're starting a brand new series today simply called I Love This Church. This has typically turned into our start of the summer series for the past several years. And if I'm honest, if you really want to know where these sermons come from, it's a slew of sermons that don't typically fit into one particular series. And so I have this kind of hodgepodge of messages that really didn't go anywhere. So I throw them into this and I just call it, I love my church, or I love this church, or I love Central, or whatever we've called them for the past several years. But they're all about our church and our personal growth in Jesus. Let me set today up like this, and this series really. One of the things we're going to talk about a lot is about how different people are in the church. For example, I'll ask you this question, and let me explain it before you raise your hand. Sometimes people raise your hand and you shouldn't. How many of you love to cook? And when I say cook, I mean you can cook. I'm not talking about you're heating up some Chef Boyardee. I'm talking about you get out the spices, you get out the cookbook, you get the ingredients, you go to the store, you know what parsley and oregano are, you get all the stuff, and you love spending hours in the kitchen. Anybody? Anyone? All right, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. I want to see whose house I'm coming to next for dinner. All right, I got that. All right, for me, gourmet cooking is DoorDash. Like, how fast can they get to my house? I don't love to cook. I do enjoy eating good cooking, though. The best cook in the world ever was my grandma. She never followed a recipe. She just threw stuff together, and it tastes. I don't know how she did it. How many of you got grandmama like that? Yeah, everybody's grandma, right? All right, how many of the people in the room, you're an extrovert? You just love people. You love being around people. People give you energy. You love it. How many of you are that? Raise your hand. Oh, that's great. How many people in the room are introverts? Typically, we're like hand halfway up. I don't really want to raise my hand all the way up. It hit me the other day how introverted I am. This is a true story. I went to a gas station, and I put my card in, and I was trying to pay at the pump, and it said, see the cashier. I took my card, stuck it in my pocket, and went to another gas station because I didn't want to see the cashier. We all have different things that we love. We're all good at certain things. There are things we're good at. There are things we're not good at. And church people are the exact same way. There are different kinds of people in every church. And the types of people I'm going to describe to you today are in every church. It doesn't matter if they're in America or another continent. It doesn't matter if they're Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, or Charismatic. The types of people I'm going to walk through today are in every church. And they're in this church, and you're going to find yourself in one, hopefully two categories today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on any of these, though, all right? But you're going to find yourself today. So what I thought I would do, my original intention was to read through a passage of Scripture. Just read straight through it without making any comments. But guess what? I'm a preacher and I can't do that. Like, it's impossible for me. I got to stop and I got to comment. So stick with me. All right. This is out of Mark chapter 2. There are four accounts of the life of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the Gospels. Most scholars believe that Mark got his information from Peter, like in an interview. So Mark is writing this down. Mark wasn't one of the apostles, the disciples. He wasn't walking with Jesus. And in Mark chapter 2, if you've been around this church for a minute, you've heard this story. It's about some guys who brought their friend to Jesus. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1. Here we go. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Watch this. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, now this is where I got to stop. And the reason I got to stop is because when a church starts to grow in any community, and I've experienced this here at Central, but churches all over the world have experienced this. When a church starts to grow, oftentimes other churches will take shots at the church. And they'll say things like, well, the reason they're growing is because they're watering down the word. You ever heard that? Watering down the word. I don't know what that is. I don't know if you bring the Bible out and you pour water on it. I don't know how that works. But watering down the word, which the opposite is actually true right here in this text, because right here in this text, we see Jesus, who was the word, preaching the word. And when the word preaches the word, people keep showing up. And you have to do things like start another service just to get all the people in the room. That's what's happening. And so somebody is taking a shot. And I've heard it. People have said things like, well, they're not preaching the word at Central. Well, we're just not preaching your version, but we're preaching the word because people are showing up and getting saved. That's what happens in those churches, right? And so verse 3, four men arrive carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Now, I read the Bible a little different. I think this is kind of funny because first of all, we don't really know there were just four men. It's like the wise men. We always say three wise men, but it was a whole caravan of people. And we don't know if there were just three or whatever. We don't know if there were just four. We just know there were four men carrying him. So there could have been more, but they're carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Now, we always make the assumption that he wanted to go, but what if he didn't? What if he didn't? Because he didn't have a choice. He was paralyzed. What was he going to do? He couldn't even fight for himself. They're like, hey, you're going. You're going to church. And this right here is biblical permission for you to bring people to church. All right? Four men carried a paralyzed man on a mat. Now, because we don't know his name, but he was paralyzed on the mat. So for the rest of the sermon, I'm just going to refer to him as Matt. Okay? Verse 4. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, because there's a lot of people there. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Now, this is what's crazy. During those times, in that time culture, in that time period, they made their roofs out of hay, wood, mud, and animal dung. So they literally dug through crap to get their friend to Jesus. They went through it. They lowered him down in front of Jesus. Watch this. Lowered him down in front of Jesus, seeing their faith, not his faith, not Matt's faith, but seeing the friends' faith. By the way, how could Jesus see their faith? How could he? They lowered him down. They lowered him down through a hole they dug in the roof. How could Jesus see their faith? I'll tell you what I think. I can't prove this. It's just what I think. I think he saw their faith because they let go of the ropes. In other words, we lowered him. We gave him to you. We ain't pulling him back up. He's yours. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Now, in this text that we just read, we see about four or five different types of people. And I'm going to tell you what these people are, and then we'll talk about them. Maybe you can find yourself in this group. Number one, someone in need. Someone in need. How many people in this room have ever made a trip to the ER? You've made a trip to the emergency room. All right, lots of hands. Here's what I know. You made a trip to the emergency room because you were in need. You didn't go, hey, you know what, babe? We don't have anything going on tonight. Why don't we go to the ER and just make fun of people? That, by the way, that's sick, right? That's dark. None of us have done that. We don't go to the ER because we want to. We go to the ER because we need to. Now, some people, you have places you need to go. Like you need to go to Walmart, but not really. Because what I've discovered when I go to Walmart, if I need something, I always walk out with things I didn't need because of the way the store is laid out, right? So someone in need. Now, in this story, obviously the person in need is Matt. Because Matt is paralyzed. And on the surface, we can look and we can think we know what his need is. We think we can identify his needs. He's paralyzed. He obviously can't take care of himself. Get him in front of Jesus. Jesus take care of his need. But the need was actually deeper than the paralysis he was experiencing. Because in that culture, if you had a physical problem, whether it was paralysis, whether you were blind, whether you were lame, whether you were deaf, any physical problem, they tied it to a spiritual issue. So if you had a physical problem, they assumed you had a spiritual problem. And if you had a physical deformity, you could not go to the temple. And if you could not go to the temple, you could not be prayed for. And if you could not be prayed for, your sins could not be forgiven. And if your sins could not be forgiven, not only were you damned to hell on earth, but you were damned to hell for eternity. So he had a deeper need than just getting his paralysis taken care of. He needed to meet God. But here's the problem. He couldn't go. So his friends brought him to Jesus. And Jesus loves us so much that he came to us. We see someone in need in this story. Now, the reason I love this part of the story is because our church is kind of like an ER. We're not really like Walmart. We're like an ER. This church exists so that people in need can walk through these doors. And when I say people in need, let me tell you, maybe you've been plagued this week, maybe for months, maybe for even years with worry. If you don't handle worry, worry will lead to anxiety. If you don't handle anxiety, anxiety will lead to depression. And maybe that's your deal. Maybe you've got an addiction. And listen, I know all about that. I've wrestled with that several times in my life. Maybe you've got a problem. Maybe you've got a worry. Maybe you've got a relationship issue that's coming apart at the seams. Here's what I know. If you are in need, if there's something going on in your life that's got you off track, if there's something going on in your life that is not right, you came to the right place, because we're not standing judging people at the door by their appearance, and we're not looking for perfect people. This church exists so that anybody in any spiritual condition can walk into the room and hopefully have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And when you walk out, you're not the same as when you walked in. This church exists because there's a group of people outside these walls. Listen, the world has never needed Jesus more than it needs Jesus right now. Amen? So we got somebody in need. Someone in need. Number two, we've got someone who cares. Somebody who cares. Every church, our church, someone who cares. Earlier this week, this is Monday. Monday, I went to Indiana. My mom had a stroke. And thank you for your prayers, by the way. She's in a rehab center, and she's going to be there for a little while, but she's doing okay. But she was figuring out, I got there in the hospital room, and she was figuring out what she wanted to eat. And we're reading the menu for her and telling her, like, all her options. And obviously, she's in decent spirits, so we were teasing her and telling her all these bad things that she could eat, that she wasn't allowed to eat, and it was a whole big thing. But the nurse came in, she finally figured out what she wanted, and she's telling the nurse what she wanted, and she wanted sweet tea. My mom is like a sweet tea fan. She wanted sweet tea, and they said you couldn't have sweet tea. And she kind of was disappointed, and the nurse saw that, and the nurse's aide kind of looked at her and said a couple things to her, and they were talking to her about why they didn't have sweet tea, and you had a stroke, and you can't have caffeine, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And you could tell that she was upset. She was disappointed. So a few minutes later, 10, 15 minutes later, they brought her the food, and the nurse's aide came in with a bottle of decaffeinated sweet tea. And she said, I could tell you were disappointed, so I ran over to the gas station and I got you this sweet tea. She cared. You can always tell when somebody cares. And that's what we see in this story. Somebody cared enough to bring Matt to Jesus. And it was more than a conversation. See, when we feel sorry for somebody, don't miss this. When we feel sorry for somebody, that's all about us. We feel good about ourselves because we felt sorry for somebody. But compassion is way more than feeling sorry. Compassion is taking action. It's a step beyond. I don't need somebody feeling sorry for me if I'm laying down in a ditch. I need somebody to come get me out of the ditch. Amen? So I don't know how the conversation happened, but the four guys are sitting around and they're talking and they're like, man, I don't know much about this Jesus guy, but I heard he could do some miracles. I heard he healed a blind man. I heard he helped a lame man. Listen, if we can get Matt in front of Jesus, because we can't help him, but I think he can. And they cared enough to pick him up and carry him to the feet of Jesus. And like I said earlier, they let go of the ropes. And the reason that stands out to me so much is the reason I'm on stage today is because 20, 25 years ago, there was a guy that would not give up on me. He kept inviting me to church over and over and over and over again. And I know for a fact that people who care make a difference. Our church is full of people who care. It really is. Like for those of you that got kids in kids ministry right now, those people care. They're teaching your kids for free. For free. There is not enough money in the world to get me to play with your kids, right? I love kids. I love your kids from a distance. All right? I love your kids from a distance. I'm not called to do kids ministry. There are people before you got here today, there were people that were cleaning up, straightening things up. There are people during the week that help clean things around here. There are people every single week greeting when we walk in these doors. I had somebody tell me not too long ago, I said, how's your day been? They said, 15 people told me good morning. I can't have a bad morning because everyone keeps telling me good morning. And that's because we care. I want us to be a church where we always care for people, especially people who don't look anything like us. Number three, every church has someone who is unaware, completely unaware. I am ADD, HD, BC, WXYZ. Like I got all of the numbers and letters and stuff when it comes to that. So I have common occurrences in any situation where I am unaware. Like I told you last week or 2 weeks ago when I was up here, that I can be having a conversation with somebody and in the middle of the conversation, just look at you and say, I'm sorry. What were we talking about? Like I am unaware so often. But we see in this story, We see when they brought the paralyzed man to Jesus, they couldn't get him to Jesus, because the good news is that people were listening to and focused in on Jesus. The bad news is they were so focused that they couldn't see the hurting people behind them. And listen, I don't ever want us to be a church that's so focused on one single thing that we lose sight of the focus of Jesus, which is people who are far from God. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And he said, I came to seek and save those who were lost. And so I don't ever want us to be a church that's just hyper-focused on certain things. Like I had somebody tell me one time, and it's funny, it's a great conversation. He was like, hey man, I've been listening to you teach for a while now. You're not really deep. And I'm like, what? He said, you're not really deep. I'm like, oh, you mean confusing. Listen, if you want to go deep, I can confuse you. We could talk about the dichotomy and the trichotomy of the Spirit. We could talk about substitutionary atonement. We could talk about the peccability and the impeccability of Jesus Christ. I could throw theological words out all day long that would blow your mind, and you would leave going, oh, Ryan must be smart because I don't know what he said. But I like to put it on a level, I like to preach on a level where people can understand it. The reason I like to put it and preach on a level where people can understand it is because I went to a church where a pastor preached on a level where I could understand. And he wasn't deep. Deep, but it was real. And man, I'll take real over deep any day of the week. By the way, I'm not deep because I'm really not that smart. I'm really not. All I know is God's called me to preach, and I'm going to keep doing it till he takes me home. But we have an opportunity, church. Think about this. The world has lost its freaking mind. Have you watched the news lately? I wrote a report a while back that said suicide rates and depression rates and anxiety rates keep increasing, and church attendance keeps decreasing. And when you look at like where those things line up on a graph, and people are saying that the church is done, that the church is over. And I'm not in that camp. I ain't saying the church is over. I'm not saying the church is done. I'm saying we have an opportunity to reach people that need hope, that need joy, that need to know that the way you're living right now may not be the way you want to be living, but by the power of Jesus, you don't have to live that way anymore. You can walk in freedom. You can have joy in your life. It's completely possible. And yes, I want us to focus on Jesus, but not turn our backs on the people that need him the most. That's why we're always going to be Great Commission oriented in this church, first and foremost. We're always going to be, how can we reach people? How can we reach more people? I think more people meeting Jesus is a good thing. Amen? So this is what's crazy. Matt is paralyzed. They lower him down in front of Jesus and watch what Jesus does. Verse 5. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Now imagine you're one of the guys that brought Matt. Lowered him down. You're sweating. You're anticipating. You're expecting Jesus to do something. But this isn't what you were expecting, right? Like Jesus says, my child, your sins are forgiven. And the guys are like, oh, Mr. Jesus, sir, that ain't why we brought him. He's forgiven, but he's still paralyzed. Guess we're going to have to bring him back up. Hey, throw the ropes back. Like they didn't know. It's kind of weird, isn't it? But I heard somebody say this once, and it's so good. Oftentimes, Jesus will give us what we need before he gives us what we want. See, he wanted to walk. He needed to be forgiven. And Jesus met him at the deepest level possible and met his greatest need before he met him on the outside. Isn't that great? That's so good. I love the Bible. I do. Number 4, people who are critical. Someone who is critical. Now, believe it or not, but your boy's got some critics. I'm not going to talk about them today. But I want to talk to two groups of people that are watching online right now. Two groups. The first group is you're watching online, and I'm not cracking on you for watching online. I praise God that you watch online. The thing is, you're not in Idaho, and you're not in California. You're in Carroll, and you could be here. You could be here. I understand it's convenient, but COVID is over. Even the Republicans and Democrats agree on that. Amen. They all say it's over. So the reason I'm talking to you is because, listen, it's time for you to get up and get involved in the local church. If it's not this church, then shut off the feed and go to another one. You're too valuable to sit on the sideline. It's time for you to get up, stop being a consumer, and start being somebody that cares. And by the way, that ain't just for people watching online. That's for some people in the room, too. You've been consuming for a long time. It's time to take that next step. It's time to get up off your butt and take the next step. You feel the tension in the room? I love it. I used to hate it, but I love it now. The second group I want to talk to is there are people that are critics. And I get it. Most of the time, you don't show up here. I've had people say things to me like, well, you know what? You shouldn't be preaching. I'm like, you're right. You're right. It's amazing that I'm preaching. It's the grace of God. I can't even believe it. Well, you're a heretic. Probably am. I know that I probably maybe said some stupid stuff. I get that. We're not qualified. I know I'm not qualified. It's the craziest thing in the world. I've never been qualified. The only reason I get to preach is through the grace of God, by the power of God. Isn't that amazing? I know there are people who believe I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, but here's what I'm saying. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep on doing it. Like, there are people right now watching our church feed, and you hate what we do. You hate our church. And I'm just saying, stop. That's weird. Like, why would you keep watching that? Like, no, don't keep hitting your hand with a hammer and tell me you hate hitting your hand. Put the freaking hammer down. Stop it. Because we're not going anywhere. In fact, we're going to grow. So stop. Saving you some frustration. Knock it off. The most critical people, though, aren't people who are far from God. The most critical people are religious people. Let me point it out in this verse, verse 6. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there, and by the way, these were deep people. And when I say deep, they had the Old Testament memorized, not just like a portion, not just like one psalm, like all the psalms, the entire Old Testament memorized. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, so I want to stop for a minute and point this out. Religious people are the angriest people I've ever met in my life. They're mad. They're mad. They just yell, and they're always complaining about something. And that's what's going on here. What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Now they're saying this, but they're kind of looking at each other, and they're not saying it out loud. They're just thinking about it. You ever thought about something and not said it? Anybody? That's the reason we're alive today, right? Verse 8, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Can you imagine that? They didn't even say anything. Just thought about it. It got called out for what they thought. What are you thinking in your heart? Like, knock it off. And they're like, oh, we just got busted. Verse 9, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? Hold up. Neither. 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 They were like, you can't tell a guy that he's forgiven. Now, we can today, 2,000 years later, because we know about the cross and forgiveness and grace and mercy and the empty tomb. This is Mark chapter 2. The story is just starting to get going. They didn't know this Bible on flannograph or whatever. Like, they didn't know. Your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Well, it's easy to say, but it's kind of cruel if there's no power behind it. Am I right? And I mean, they're just sitting there, they're just scratching their heads and they're thinking this. And so Jesus says, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, watch this, verse 11, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Isn't that crazy? And everybody in the room kind of held their breath, and the teachers of the religious law are like, this was an intense moment. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Notice the exclamation point. He's like telling him that. And I'm like, dang, Jesus. At least let him stay for the rest of the message. But at this point, I think the message is over. Because watch what happens. Verse 12. And the man jumped up. Hold on for a second. When I read that, I'm always like, he jumped up? The reason I'm thinking that is because a few nights ago, I got down on the floor to play with Zeno. He's one of our dogs. And I'm laying on the floor playing with Zeno. And it was time to get up off the floor. I'm over 50. That takes like 5 minutes. You got to plan that out. You got to get your knee out. You got to push your leg. You got to which hand you're going to get up. Like, you got to plan out getting up. When I was a kid, I could ride my bicycle all day long and never get sore. Now I'm over 50. I pull a hamstring going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Like, ah. So he jumped up. He jumped up. This is just a snapshot of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives if we will submit ourselves to him. He didn't crawl up. He didn't barely make it. When Jesus spoke life into him, he said, get up. And he jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers, like all of us would have been. We would have been stunned. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Let me tell you all, when I think about our church, that's what I pray, that we will be that church. That when we leave, we say things like, we've never seen anything like this before. Well, Pastor Ryan, when are we going to get to that level? I'm already there. Do you know that we have never had a Sunday in the past 14 years where somebody did not meet Jesus? That's not normal. Like, I don't ever want us to take for granted what God is doing here. We get to see God do something supernatural every single week, every week. And the people that are critical, they can keep criticizing because we're not going anywhere. And we're going to keep seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle because that's what God has called us to do. And by the way, if you're the person that walked in here with a need, if you'll just let Jesus speak into that, eventually you'll get to the point where you can jump up and walk too. You can jump out of addiction. You can. Sometimes he does it gradually. Sometimes he does it instantaneously. But either way, he does it and he does it and he gets the glory. Amen. So people who are critical. The last one is somebody who needs to be changed. In every church, there's somebody who needs to be changed. Somebody here today needs Jesus to do something significant in your life. You need Jesus to bring about a change. Now let me tell you what I'm praying for in addition to what you're going to be praying for. I'm praying he continues to change our church. Continues to change our church because we're seeing people every week have life-changing encounters with Jesus Christ. And we've got some room, but we're making more room. Listen, Easter weekend, about a month ago, we had over 800 people attend services at Central Church. Now, hold on, don't clap yet, because they might not have been here since Christmas. We call them CEOs, Christmas and Easter onlys. But you know, eventually our hope is that they're going to stick. And one thing I know about Jesus is when you truly see him, it's nearly impossible to walk away. And so here's what you have. You have a card you got when you came in. I want everybody to do this. This is Allskate. Everybody do this. Take out this card. It says, I commit to bring. And I want you to write somebody's name down there. I'm wondering, who in your life right now do you need to bring to church sometime in the next 60 days? I didn't say ask. And I didn't say text. They brought Matt to Jesus, and Jesus did the work. And if we're a church that exists to create an environment where people can meet Jesus and Jesus Christ can change them from the inside out, right? Who is it? If somebody's popping to your mind right now, let me tell you, that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's not the devil. The devil ain't leading you to invite people to church. God is putting that name on your heart. So if God put that name in your heart, I want you to write it on that piece of paper. In just a second, we're going to do an invitation. We're going to sing. And the name you've got written down, I want you to walk forward. Again, this is an Allskate. Everybody got this. Everybody can do this. Pastor Mike is prepared to sing an entire song, not just the chorus, because everybody's going to participate with this. I want you to come up and I want you to write the name on one of these two boards. You don't have to write your name, but I want you to write the name. I want you to write that name. That's symbolic of you dropping the ropes. It's saying, Jesus, I'm going to commit to doing whatever it takes to get this person to church in the next 60 days. I'm trusting you, you're going to help me. I'm trusting you that when they come here, they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to pray to receive you. I believe you, Jesus. Jesus, I'm making room in my heart for you to stir me. We're going to make room in this house for you to do something amazing. Listen, we're going to make room in this place for people to meet Jesus. And Jesus is going to make, you're going to make room in your heart for Jesus to move in your life significantly and partner with him on what matters most to him, people who are far from God. Because you know what happens when a church begins to commit to bring people to a place where they can meet God? People receive Jesus. Lives get changed. Families get restored. Men become men. Women become women. Teenagers get on fire for Jesus Christ. And an entire community, people who don't even go to church, step back and say, we've never seen anything like that before. And that's my prayer for this church, that the people will continue to meet Jesus and will continue to be amazed by what Jesus does. And that's why I love this church. Let's pray. So Jesus, right now, as we take a moment to pause and reflect, help us, God, to lean in and listen to you. If God laid a name on your heart, I want you to write it down. Father, take these next few moments and move in ways we need to be moved. What's the change Jesus needs to do in you? I'm telling you, if you tell God that change, he'll meet you right where you are. So God, as we get ready to end our time here together, God, I pray with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just need God to change something in your life, like I know it's scary, but just tell him. Just tell him. Maybe you're here today, the change you need is to receive Jesus. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You've never asked Jesus to come in and take over. And today you realize you need him. You need what the paralyzed man had. You need to be empowered. Jesus can empower you and fill you. I mean, I can't even begin to describe how great a relationship is with Jesus, but you've got to invite him in. So if that's what you want to do today, I'm going to invite you right where you sit to say a prayer. If you need to pray to receive Jesus, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And listen, it's a simple prayer. It's very simple because the Bible makes it simple. The Bible says in Romans, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so right now, just say, Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose from the grave. And I believe you did that to pay for my sin. And so right now, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Come in and take over. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my King. And be my Savior. All of me for all of you. Thank you for dying for me, and thank you for saving me. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer, if you asked Jesus to come into your life, after you come up here and you write your name down, we'd love to have you go into the back corner of the sanctuaries and meet with one of our prayer team and let them know so they can celebrate with you and talk to you about next steps. Maybe you're here and maybe you have a need. And you've told God, hey, I need to make this change. And maybe you want somebody to partner with you and pray with you for that. Use this as an opportunity for that as well. Father, I want to thank you for the many people that you have saved in this church. For all the lives you have changed. And I want to pray, God, for the people that are here that need to take that next step. God, that you spoke into our lives your word today and you showed us to take that next step. May we never be a church that gives up on the Great Commission. May we have a heart that mirrors your heart for your kingdom. Your kingdom is awesome. And may we tell everybody we know. And so, God, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing and come write names.